me. Generals gathered in their masses. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Can You Edit That Out? On today's episode, I have Jimmy Calloway, who a lot of people in this scene know as the host of the ACC Open Mic. And I've always been on pretty good terms with Jimmy. I never, you know, really get a chance to talk to him too much, but he's a very nice guy, and this was an interesting chance to get to know him a little bit better. So I really enjoyed it, and I hope you guys do too. Thanks, everybody.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Cool. So what's going on, man? How was your day?
It was fine.
What'd you do today?
You're going to start with this, huh?
That's, I like to, like, just, you know, ease into it.
Okay. What did I do today? Not much. I had the day off, so I read comics for a while, and then I went and had something to eat with some of the fellas, went and bought some shoes. Some of the fellows, yes.
Like comic fellows?
Yes.
Okay.
Comedian friends. And then bought some shoes, and then I came and did the mic here at the Madhouse, and that's about it.
It's cool, man.
It's a pretty standard day.
Is that a pretty standard day?
It's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not far from it. I'm off Sunday, Monday. So usually Monday I go to the comic book store, but since it's Labor Day today,
yeah,
it wasn't open. So
you still working at the comic book store?
No, okay. Sadly. But I still shop there regularly.
Yeah.
So I'm still there. I still go there every week.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm making enough money to where I can afford a comic book, so I'm fine with that. That was the main reason to. I worked there for 10 years, so I mean, it was. I wasn't happy to go, but
yeah. What happened?
Well, I started working at the
ACC,
so that was just taking up more time. And like, yeah, so like my boss at the comic shop figured he didn't really, you know, he's kind of like bringing in other guys, so he didn't really need me around as much.
Yeah,
I was already kind of on my way out.
Sure.
But yeah, it was fine.
That's cool. So I talk to different people when they're like in their comedy ups and downs.
Uh-huh.
Are you in an up or down right now?
I think I feel like it's somewhat up.
Yeah,
it's it's not a down. I can say that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, things are going well.
Yeah. Why are things going well?
I don't know. Why does anything go well, David?
It just does. I don't know. I feel like you're kind of like in like a good place where you're like writing stuff that you like, and
I'm not writing as often.
Not bombing as often.
I'm not. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not writing as often as I might like.
Okay.
And and what I am writing isn't as good as I might like it to be.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm not being objective about that, but I do think I don't know. I haven't really been feeling it lately, but sets have been going fine.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've got no complaints as far as that goes.
Did you go through a down recently?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's been pretty up for the most part.
Yeah, I like comedy still.
Yeah.
So I don't really, I don't know. Even if I have a bad set, I'm still not, I might be kind of bummed about that.
Yeah.
But I never, comedy is really the only thing really going well for me.
Okay.
So it's so I've got no complaints at all.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's cool. Why do you do comedy?
It's something I enjoy very much, and I happen to be okay at it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much why I do anything.
Yeah.
Something that I like to do, and something that's not a huge pain in the ass for me. That's kind of just how I live my life in general. And, but I mean, I don't really have any kind of, I don't know if you're looking for any kind of meaningful, you know, mission statement or any, I don't really have anything like that.
No.
I like doing it.
Do you think are you kind of like the type person whose brain works in a certain way where if it wasn't comedy, you'd have to be doing something else creative to like occupy your time?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, for, I mean, I never really wanted, even when I was very, very young, I never wanted to do anything useful. I always wanted to do something, creative. I wanted to be a comic book artist when I was young, but then apparently you have to draw very well to do that. So that was out. And then, for the longest time I wanted to be a writer.
Comedy or serious writing?
Of anything, really.
Yeah.
I would go from kind of genre to genre. Like when I was in high school, I started my own punk rock fanzine, and I did that for a few years. And then I started reading a lot of crime fiction, so I wanted to write that for a very long time. And then I started writing more when I started getting some of that published here and there, little short stories on the internet and stuff. And I also started writing more articles. Mm-hmm. And so that looked like a thing I could do for a living. And I did actually have a job running this site called Criminal Complex, which was a news site about crime fiction. So I was editor for that. And I would, so we, there was me and like three or four other dudes that would, we would each write an article every day, like short articles.
Yeah.
And then like once a week, one of us would write a longer article. And then it was my job to edit all their stuff and my own and get it posted.
Yeah.
And that actually paid. It wasn't enough to live on, but it was a nice supplementary income for about a year. And so that was, that had been my major goal, like career goal, mm-hmm. for a very long time. And then I was also in bands for a very long time too, which was never something that I ever considered doing professionally.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, a lot of punk bands do make a living, not a very comfortable one, but yeah. you know,
something.
And but that was never really, I never really had the drive to do that. Yeah. I don't think so.
So comedy's been your favorite of all those things so far?
So far, yeah. Yeah. So far, yeah.
What do you think it is? What is it about it that you like more than all those other things?
Well, part of it is definitely, it's not as in a vacuum. Like when you write, when you're a writer, you spend a lot of time just working on whatever it is you're doing without any kind of feedback.
Yeah.
And it's tough to even get your stuff out there. With comedy, it's a lot easier to get both. You can get up anywhere. If you're in a town that has a decent scene like we are, you know, you can get up enough to work on your stuff. And also you can get, it's a nice feeling when you do well. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a plus. It is something I did. It was when I remember when I was 11, I did make the declaration to my parents that I wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
Oh, really? 11?
I was 11. That was like,
you'd already been exposed to stand-up.
Oh yeah. This was in the late 80s when the boom was in full force. So it was everywhere.
Yeah.
And so it just seemed like, and then of course they discouraged me. from the outset entirely. And it was kind of a daunting thing, which is why I waited 25 years before I tried it. And but now that I'm doing it, it does feel like, I don't believe in destiny or any of that kind of shit, but I do think that it is something like that I'd wanted to do for so long. So to finally be doing it, it does feel like the right thing mm-hmm. for me to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think it is that like you kind of have you were talking about not wanting to do like practical things growing up.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about like your personality that seems to be different from other people that don't seek something outside of like the everyday going to work?
I don't know exactly. I think, God, there's no way for me to answer that without sounding pretentious. I'm just better than everybody else. That's why. I don't know. I do. I will say that there are definitely times where I envy people who are good with that sort of a life. People who like, you know, do the kind of normal, go to college and then get a job and then get married and then start a family and then have a job and then do this and everything. That's and if that's for you, then that's great.
Yeah.
Like, and there are times where I'm like, that seems nice and it seems easy and it seems like, you know, it would just be nice sometimes to just kind of not live the sort of life.
Yeah.
Cause when you live a creative, for lack of a better term, life, there's you know, it's all topsy turvy and there's no real security and all that stuff. I think from a very young age, though, I realized that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I was a very obnoxious snot-nosed punk when I was a teenager and it was very anti-establishment and the system is fucked and all this stuff. And I still think that. I'm just not as angry about it. So it was one of those things where it was like, I rebelled against it so totally that I think even at this point, if I wanted to do something more normal, I wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm just so far gone that the notion of doing something like that. I'm not writing it off. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying thus far. I did have, like, for a while there, a couple years ago, I got an office job, which paid really well, certainly more than any other day job I'd ever had. And it was nice and safe and boring, and it had a nice routine, which oddly I like routine despite all my iconoclastic leanings. But it sucked. It sucked really bad. And like when I had never had an office job.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it is pretty much exactly like Office Space or anything else like anybody has ever told you about an office job. And so I was like, once I get out of here, I got to try comedy. Like I can't, cause I knew I wasn't going to stay there. Mm-hmm. I ended up getting laid off sooner than I thought, but that was probably for the best. And then I started doing stand up. So it all worked out.
What was it about that was it the job, the motivation to start or what was that? How was that connected to you deciding to make that leap?
Well, one of the main reasons I took that job was a friend of mine worked there. And he was also a writer. He still is. His name is Matt Funk. And hopefully his novel should be out soon. And last time I talked to him, I think it's finally going to get published that he wrote 5 fucking years ago. And I was working in a warehouse. And I had been working in this warehouse for about 5 years. And my approach to professional life had been have a shitty day job and then write when I'm not working.
Yeah.
And I figured if I just had a job where I didn't have to put any of myself into it, like I had been when I was going to college, I had been planning on becoming a professor, but I was like every English professor I knew was a failed novelist.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to, and they were all bitter about it. And I was like, I don't want to go down that road.
Yeah.
Cause you get, when you start to, cause I just tutored in college and that was enough of a taste of that life where it's like, you get really bogged down with having to teach other people how to write that you don't want to work on your own stuff. It's draining. So I thought if I had a job where I didn't have to do anything like that, that I could just focus my energies on writing, which wasn't the case because I hated working in a warehouse after 5 fucking years. So my friend was like, I'll get you this desk job. It's super easy. It was social media. So just doing social media stuff.
Yeah.
And it was really easy. It was mind-numbingly easy. And then he's like, then you have more time to focus on your, and he was right. I, that 9 months that I worked there, I finished the novel that will be published soon. So like it did give me some kind of, you know, I was sitting down all day. So it was just, I don't know. And, but in the course of working there, I started listening to a bunch of, like I had an hour and a half, this job was in Irvine. So I had an hour and a half commute each way. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to a lot more comedy, a lot more podcasts. And I was still always just a very big comedy nerd, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I think I was really, really immersing myself in it then that I was just like, I really want to try this. And it was, I don't know, it felt more like something I could try right away. Something that would be more immediate. I mean, even after I got laid off, it still took me 2 months to like gird up to go actually try to go to an open mic.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that was, I don't know. It could have just been circumstantial. It could have been just the time was right.
Yeah.
You know, it'd been a long time. And the writing, even though I got this novel finished, it wasn't like, once I got that done, then I was like, well, fuck, now I got to find an agent. Now I got to try to do this, that, and the other thing. And I don't have the drive. Like a lot of my writer friends who make a living doing it, or even a partial living doing it, like they might still have day jobs. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot more drive to like, you know, network and stuff like that, which I just don't, especially since I quit drinking, I don't have any desire to socialize with anyone. So I was just like, I don't have it in me for that. But then something like comedy, it's easier to do that, I guess.
Yeah. And you were like, you were a fan of like the scene before you actually got in it, right?
Yeah. Well, like in around 2003, I was very briefly in a sketch troupe. It was me and 2 other guys.
Yeah.
And so we started just to see what the kind of timber of the scene was, started just going to a lot of shows. And I just, I was already just a huge stand-up fan. So I just started going to a lot of shows. And even once that troupe kind of fell apart, I still kind of just kept tabs on everybody, you know. So yeah, it was always something I enjoyed. And yeah, it was really cool. It's still like, I was at the Comedy Store the other night just to go see Eric Griffin and being in that room as a comic and talking to my friends who work there. And I'm like, man, not even that long ago, I would have come to a show here and been like, oh, I wish I could hang out with the comics. Like, you know, feeling like on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
And now that I'm more on the inside than I was, it's cool. Like, yeah. I still really enjoy it. I'm not as bitter as I might think I am sometimes, but...
No, it seems like you're pretty positive about...
Yeah, it's weird. Hearing it out loud, it's weird to me, because I don't feel that positive a lot of the time, but yeah, it's something...
But
it's
about
still,
comedy, though.
But comedy is definitely... It's still new.
It'll wear off. I think you've been in it long enough that you start complaining. Like,
oh, well, I do. I definitely do complain more now than I used to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still
overall still positive. What do you have like to say maybe in response to certain people that have complaints about parts of the scene? Do you hear a lot of complaints about it?
Could you phrase that more vaguely?
Like, do you hear sometimes people will make certain comments about the scene being bad? That you disagree
not
with?
Really?
Really?
I don't really hear anyone say anything that general. Like, oh, this scene sucks. People will complain about other people. People will complain about specific other people. You know, there's like people have personal beefs or whatever.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, and this has been my feeling from the beginning, because I started kind of late.
Yeah.
And I was 36 when I started, and everybody was like 21. And not to sound like an old man, but I was like, you kids don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Like, doing comedy can be a drag.
Yeah.
People in general are terrible. So whenever you have to interact with people, it's usually not a good idea. That's been my experience. So like anytime even if it's something you love, there's going to be times where you're just like, ugh, I don't want to deal with this or that or the other thing. But I will take this over working a day job or any of the other horrible shit that I've done over the years instead of this.
Yeah.
So I feel like since I have a somewhat broader range of experience than a lot of the younger folk, that maybe I'm just like, yeah, this isn't that bad. But I mean, when I was 21, 22 and in the punk scene and going playing shows and going to bars, It was almost exactly the same. It's clicky, and then you don't like this guy, and this guy's an asshole, and you want to fuck this girl, and then it's all like, it's your whole, your personality is evolving around your social scene, as it does.
Yeah.
And so I don't have that with this.
Yeah.
I'm not personally invested in that same way.
Yeah.
Than I think a lot of other people are. So I think that's like, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's to my advantage. So
how do you deal with it when like you kind of are around that and people are being very negative about disliking each other and like...
I just go home.
Just leave.
I just leave. I mean, it's not like... I try to anyway. I mean, I read like we have our local Facebook comedian pages that I look at every day. And I lurk, as they say. Do they still say that? And I sort of scratch that gossipy itch that way, I suppose. But I don't involve myself or anything like that because it's, you know, that'd be a nightmare. But yeah, I just kind of remove myself from anything like that. And I don't know. I think that's kind of the nice thing about our scene as well, is because we all come into this as individuals and nobody really... Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're standing with a group of comics at a show and you're talking, and then you just turn around and walk away, nobody really... It's not like a thing.
Yeah.
So it's nice. You can kind of just bungee in and out of stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. And nobody's really going to... Because you're going to see them tomorrow anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a big deal. So I don't feel like any kind of social pressure. So, yeah, if somebody's being a drag, I'll just not...
Yeah. Do you think you've got a lot of talent here?
I do.
Yeah.
I really do, yeah. I mean, I haven't gone to a lot of other cities, and so I don't really have the comparison.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think there's a lot of funny people here, and then there's a lot of people who will be funny. Like, you know, people who are clearly still starting, but who are going. Yeah, I think it's going to... And I think it's, you know, it's just a matter of who's going to hang out the longest. Because that always seems to be the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you're really good, but then you stop, then it doesn't matter anymore. How good you were.
Yeah.
So it's that's the main thing is people just need to stick to it, I guess.
Yeah. Has hosting the mic like kind of like made comedy better or worse for you? Well, the scene or
that's
your
a very loaded
your
question.
Experience in the
hosting the mic at the American Comedy Company, to put it in context for the listeners, has been an experience to be sure. it's more or less been what I expected, and it does come with its own set of aggravations, but I think I was prepared for those. Mm-hmm. When Mike Ulla was hosting the mic before me, because I was working at the club. Yeah. I started working at the club last summer, and Mike was still the host up until the end of the year. And so I was there every day and at the mic every week. And so I saw how Mike did things, and I pretty much just did the same thing,
yeah.
except that I would do time at the top, and Mike never did. That was like the only real difference. And so, yeah, it can be... It's weird because I'm in a position where I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. I guess the most aggravating thing is that since it's not like most mic, I think every other mic in town is more or less show up, go up.
Yeah.
So, you know what actually is probably the worst thing about it is when there's a lot of people that come to that mic that I don't see anywhere else. There's a lot of people that come there and they think, oh, this is a really good room. I want to do stand up here and only here.
Yeah.
And then they're terrible because they don't practice anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so then they get more upset with me than regular like comedians. So that I think irritates me the most. There was a kid a few weeks ago who had come in every week for like 4 weeks and he hadn't gotten up, and he hadn't gotten told.
Up, yeah.
And he was getting more and more shitty about it and like just getting an attitude with me. And I was like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. It's luck of the draw. And, finally he got pulled and, he ate shit. And then he could have done worse.
Yeah.
And then he was very excited. He was very happy. He was thanking me up and down. He's whistling a much different tune. And then never saw him again. So it was like one of those things where he just wanted to get it out of his system. Which I don't... That's fine. I got nothing against... If somebody wants to just come and get it, scratch it off their list of things to do, that's fine. But don't cop a fucking attitude about it would be my thing. So that's like an extreme example. But that's probably the most irritating thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Does it ever get, like, difficult for you when you're, like, in this thing with everybody else and certain people will, like, get better than you or maybe, like, get opportunities and stuff that you
David,
were
David, no one's
towards?
Better than me. Come on.
You never get, like, friend jealousy?
No.
No?
No, absolutely not. That's something that I was conscious of when I started. I was like, I don't want to be like that. But then, I don't know if it was because of that, but I just don't. Like, it's never even been an issue. I'm always happy when friends of mine get spots and people do well. That's never a thing. And I mean, I honestly don't really look at it as a competition.
Yeah.
It's really just, I don't know. Like, I think there was probably a few times when I started getting, like, okay, and when I started getting booked here and there. Mm-hmm. And then that might have... I think it might have spiked a little bit when I wouldn't get booked for something and somebody else would. And I'd be like, well, I featured at Winston's. I'm just as good as that guy. But that was just because I was still kind of... I just had a taste and I just wanted more. It wasn't any kind of personal motivation out of spite. It was just like, oh, I want to do... But then, like... As time went on, and it was like, well, I get plenty of spots, mm-hmm. so and no, I don't have any reason to begrudge anyone else a spot, no matter where it is. So, not really.
Yeah. What about just, like, in terms of, like, when you're kind of, like, not doing so well, And you know somebody that started like after you that got better that doesn't ever bother you at all either?
No.
No.
I mean, and honestly, I can't think of anyone.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds shitty. Like, no one's getting better than me. But it's not, like, yeah. I don't know. I don't really, it seems like everybody that I started with, we've all been kind of on the same kind of path, the yeah. same kind of arc. So it doesn't seem to me like mm-hmm. that's even an issue. Like, even if I felt that way, I wouldn't really have any evidence to support that. It seems to me like we're all doing swell.
Yeah. So do you ever feel like you're not good or do you feel shitty?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, like, I don't know, like, yeah. I mean, there's always like a kind of a current of self-doubt in almost everything I do. Mm-hmm. But I was a philosophy major, so that's part of it. That was my secondary major. So I'm constantly like, like that could be better or this could have been, I could have done this or something, but not in a negative, in a, you know, constructive way mostly. Yeah. So, I mean, if I have a bad set or something like that, you know, like I did a weekend a few weeks ago and I was doing the Thursday night set and I was doing, and it was the same kind of act, like the, you know, A list act that I've been doing for a while. And as I was doing it, I'm like, in my head, I was like, you know, I can move this joke here and I think it might be better, or this joke there. And I was like, I've been kind of going through the motions without even really realizing
yeah.
it. And then when I realized that I could make these changes and it might work better, the next night I did that and I crushed. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, that was kind of a corner to turn for me. It was like, oh, there was something I could have been doing this whole time that I wasn't even aware of.
Yeah.
So to know that, to know that that is possible, that whatever, however well I'm doing, there's always that notion that without me even being aware of it, I could be doing even better. Mm-hmm. So I don't stress about it, but I do keep that in the back of my mind. Like, you know, there's always room for improvement. I could always do something else. Maybe not with a specific joke, but with the set or with whatever else. So, yeah. Does that answer you? That answers your question.
That's just crazy.
I kind of forgot where the yeah. question was.
So you were working on, like you have a, you're doing a show with Burner now at the mm-hmm. American Comedy Company, and mm-hmm. then you're also doing comedy regularly, working at the club.
Mm-hmm.
You're finished writing or you're...
Yeah, I have the novel. I finished that a couple yeah. of years ago, and it's coming out in a couple weeks, end yeah. of September.
So you like to keep like pretty occupied then?
Yeah.
What is, you think that's all about? Where does that?
Because I get really bored.
Okay.
Otherwise, and you also get,
like anxious.
Yeah.
An anxious person.
I'm more depressed than anxious. Okay. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're not like keeping productive, does yeah. that like make you pretty depressed?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have trouble like taking time off and just relaxing and
yes. not like I'm still really lazy.
Yeah.
And I like today I just spent the day reading comic books, but that's like a typical Monday. Like Monday is like my day to myself.
Yeah.
Or I try to keep it that way anyway. So that'll be, and that's all I don't like to, I'm not an active dude. So I like to just sit and read or watch movies or something. But yeah, if I'm not doing something, I've got all this excess energy.
Yeah.
And then I have a tendency to sit and mope and kind of stew on whatever I don't like about. It's usually chicks. Usually chicks.
Chicks got you down?
Chicks got me down. So if I focus on something else, then that doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah.
It's gotten better.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
I was in my teens and 20s, it was a nightmare. It was just a constant. I measured everything against whether or not I had a girlfriend or anything like that.
Interesting.
And then as I got older, I actually went to some therapy for a little while.
Yeah.
That became less of an issue, but it's still something I'm mindful of.
Yeah. Do you have like a little bit of depression in there then?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. What, yeah. How does that like manifest itself in your life?
Yeah, it just makes me kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
I guess generally speaking, I don't know. Like, do I cut myself? Is that what you're asking?
No, I mean, do you?
No,
no.
Like,
what do you like? Besides, I guess, chicks. Like, what is it that you get down about, or what are you thinking about when
that's
you're
mostly
all,
it
mostly that
yeah it's really not that's really the only area of my life that I don't feel like I have control over. Mm-hmm. And not in a like Machiavellian way, but just like where I, that for whatever reason, that's something that I'm just constantly, that sort of validation, mm-hmm, is something I'm still struggling with not needing so much. And so, yeah,
weird.
That's most of it. Is that weird?
No, it's not weird. It's just, I guess I, since I don't know you that well, I guess it's kind of surprising.
Well, I'm glad that it's not apparent.
So how have relationships been for you?
Not great.
No? What's going on? What happens?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's not, I've not yet been able to maintain a relationship for longer than a couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's not in itself a bad thing.
Is it like a reoccurring thing, or is it, yeah, like, so you just fuck up in different ways?
Yeah. There's definitely a, yeah, pattern.
Is there like one specific thing that you can't seem to like fix or get over? Or?
Not really. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't, I mean, I've given it a lot of thought, but I'm still not 100% on where the problem lies.
Yeah.
Cause honestly, especially, okay. So when I was about, I guess I was about 32, I was in this relationship that was not good. And, that was when I was like, I should probably get some professional help. Cause this, yeah, is really, I was really depressed over it. And so I did, and it was very helpful. It really worked like right away. That's my shrink right there. basically a lot of it was kind of just staying in the moment more,
yeah,
and not being so worried about what my relationship status is going to be in the future. I would date a lot of women that were not good for me to be dating, but were up for it. Yeah. So I was like, okay, you know, especially when I was younger, that was definitely the thing. Is any girl that batted her eyes at me, I was like, okay, yeah, let's date.
Yeah.
Even though you're an insane lunatic or whatever. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, as I got older, it became more of a, it's more, I think lately anyway, into my 30s, the problem has honestly been more just that I've reached a point in my life where I don't feel like I need to, how do I want to phrase this? Well, my shrink basically told me, and what most shrinks, this is what they're paid to do, is to tell you you're fine.
Really?
That was my experience anyway. Like, I would show up for my, it's great. No, I couldn't recommend it more. I would show up and I would tell him all my problems and everything, and he'd go, nah, don't worry about it. And I go, oh, okay. And it was actually very helpful. And so, like, just going over the last, you know, 8 years here, I think the pattern seems, to me anyway, that I date somebody for a while, and then after a while, they want more out of the relationship, and I'm like, but I don't have any more. Like, I'm already doing this, so I don't have any more, and then that doesn't work for them, mm-hmm, so it's like, all right, well, thanks for all your help. That's kind of, I think, the dime store version, yeah, of how that works. And so that sucks. But I still remain cautiously optimistic, because this is what my shrink told me too. He's like, what he told me was like, you need to find somebody who is as laid back as you are. Somebody who doesn't give a shit like you don't. And I was like, okay, great. So that's all I have to do now.
Yeah.
Sounds easy enough. Right? Should be no sweat.
Yeah. Why do you want, like, you like relationships then? Yeah. Why do you think you have, like, place such a, like, high value on them?
I think, well, because my parents didn't love me. Yeah. That would probably be the beginning.
Is that true?
Truth and comedy. I mean, I did grow up in a very typically upper middle class, white, emotionally cold household. Mm. Nothing, okay, nothing, you know, yeah, nothing new there. And then, but I think now, I think I'm far enough from that obviously still has, it still informs, mm-hmm, how I feel about relationships now, but I think I'm far enough from it now to be able to look at it more like, I dig being in a relationship. I like being with somebody.
But if it's causing you like so much like trouble, doesn't that make it like...
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, and right now it's like... Well, right now I'm consciously not dating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm consciously like, I'm going to just
figure
some shit out, kind of get my head together. And, you know, basically just focus on comedy and stuff like that. It'll make me less depressed, and it also makes me more appealing. So, yeah, I think... But the reason I place such a high value on it, I think it's just a personal preference at this point. I think it's just kind of what I like. Mm-hmm. And it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So like, you're putting less importance on it.
I am. Yeah. I think so. Thursdays. This is a good day.
Yeah.
There's some days where I feel like killing myself. But
Have you dated during comedy? Have you dated people during comedy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not and, well.
Was the comedy kind of like a problem in it?
Well, you would have to ask them, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm not really at liberty to say.
Think it was a tough balance?
It is a tough balance. That's for sure. And yeah, that's definitely a factor. But I mean, something like when I was working on the novel, I was dating this young lady, and that was always a thing, was that I would have to spend time, because I would work 40 hours a week, or not even really that much, but I would work full time, and then have to spend time working on the book that I was writing. And she took kind of umbrage to that, like, you know, I don't want to just be background noise. I don't want to just be something else that you're doing. And I was like, well, that's not how I'm looking at our relationship.
Yeah.
I could see, and especially now with hindsight, can see where she was coming from, but. Yeah. I mean, and she more or less said to me, like, you know, most people just have a job and then they're done. And then so they have time for this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but those people have to work in a warehouse for the rest of their life. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I could do that, even if, you know, I don't even think that's an option. So,
yeah. And did that person have anything of their own that they were kind of like frustrated about?
Which
so do you think that's a problem?
Did not hesitate to mention. Yeah. I was like, you need to get some shit of your own to do. And like, you know, she was a lot younger than me. She was like 10 years younger than me. So I was like, you know, you should go back to school and you should have, and she didn't have any other, she didn't really have a social circle outside of me. And we worked together, which was a bad idea. So, I was like, yeah, you need to find something else to do, you know, because I'm not going to be around always. And then I think after we broke up, she did go back to school. Oh. So I was like, all right, well,
yeah,
so all's well that ends well, I guess. And so that worked out.
Yeah. Do you think that's pretty important, though, for like a more creative person to be in a relationship with somebody that's also chasing something? Or do you think you need one person to be more grounded and then have like that whole dreamer grounded person dynamic?
I mean, my opinion on this sort of thing is not going to hold any kind of water, because clearly I don't know.
Well, for
if I had that equation figured out, this would be a much different conversation.
Yeah.
It seems to me, though, that if you're dating someone who... This is another thing my shrink said to me. One of the first things he said to me, he was like, are you looking for someone to complete you, or do you want to be a complete person and then be with another complete person? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was an option. I had fully bought into this romantic notion of a soulmate and someone who completes you. And I'm like, oh, you can be your own person?
Yeah.
You don't have to define yourself against a relationship? So that was an eye-opener. So I said, yeah, that please, yes. And he said, all right, cool. He said, then there are people like that out there, which so far, maybe not. But so that would be the best. And that's the other thing, though, is that I have dated people who do have their own lives and personality and do not seek to define themselves by our relationship, but it still didn't work out. So, I mean, there's all kinds of variables and factors and stuff like that. It's... I find where I lapse into the depression about this sort of thing is that I consider myself a failure in this regard. And that really...
Because you haven't been able to lock someone down.
Have not been able to keep one around for more than 24 months. So that's something that I have to kind of curb. I have to not look at it.
Yeah.
Because it's not a goddamn football game I'm playing here. It's, you know, so I have to keep myself from couching it in that sort of terms. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I failed, because that's the other thing, is that I'm the only constant in all these relationships. I'm the only one so I think like, oh, I must be the weak link in this chain. Mm-hmm. Which might be true, but it doesn't. That kind of attitude is not going to help me.
Yeah.
Because once I start thinking that way, then I'm like, well, fuck it. I might as well just throw myself in front of a bus.
Yeah.
So that's a big challenge for me. And I mean, I'm holding up though. So yeah. I mean, that's so far so good.
So the fact that those relationships didn't work out, you consider that failures?
I mean, in my darkest moments I do,
yeah,
but I don't really, I'm trying not to think of them that way. I think of them more as just it's another thing. I mean, I guess I grew up with this notion that it was guaranteed that you would find someone that you would be happy with, and at least for an extended period mm-hmm. of time. Even my parents fucking hate each other, but they were still married for 25 years. I'm like, well, I mean, if they can do it for a quarter of a century, I don't see how, of course, they were fucking miserable the whole time.
Yeah,
but
so was that really a success?
Exactly. So I shouldn't even, that's what I'm saying, is that these notions of success or failure, those are hard-nosed, hard-lined, mathematical, like empirical things. Like, you can't apply that to personal relationships. You can, but it's going to just drive you nuts, because mm-hmm. there's not going to be any one thing that happens the same. I have learned things over the years. I can definitely point to progression in my thinking about this sort of thing and in the sorts of relationships that I've been in.
Yeah.
But still not quite there. Never. So I just keep trying, I guess.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Is it? What's strange?
I don't know. I can relate to a lot of it, because I kind of went through a phase like that too. Mm-hmm. But like, I had a girlfriend that I was like obsessed with in mm-hmm. high school, and like I was like really into like all those like manic pixie dream girls from all the movies. Oh, like I
they're
loved.
So hard. Yeah, to like break I was
like,
that habit.
Yeah, like I was like obsessed with like Marla Singer from Fight Club.
Of course.
And I said, like, if I ever have a daughter, I'm gonna name her Marla. And
that's a wise move.
Why my daughter's middle name is Marlon. but then once that failed, or that whole thing ended, like, it left me in such a weird place that now that whole idea of romance and depending on somebody is so sickening to me that even in a married relationship mm-hmm. that I am in now, it's very difficult to believe into all that stuff that I did when I was in high school. I just went in such the opposite direction.
Young heartbreak.
That's like been a real challenge for me now, is trying to be a little bit more romantic and a little bit more, because as soon as I guess I saw that it.
Yeah, after I guess first I guess it is attempt, strange then, yeah.
My first failed attempt, I was immediately like, oh, I guess it's none of it is true. Like, I immediately right. just gave up on the idea of any of that stuff and having somebody else. Like, as soon as that relationship ended, I was all about, like, you need to make yourself happy, I'll make myself happy, and we'll be together in this and blah, blah,
blah. So you're
whatever,
wise beyond your years. Because I still haven't. It's weird. You're right. It is strange, because even though, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's not strange.
No. It is a little bit weird to me that I still... Like, right now, like I say, I'm just kind of... I'm not in a place to start dating. Yeah. That much is apparent to me. Yeah. And that's not the attitude I used to take. When I used to be like this, I'd be like, well, I need to find me another girl right now.
Yeah.
Help me, Rhonda. And then everything will be fine. And then everything wasn't fine. Yeah, it was just worse. So I broke that pattern. I know that dude.
Who's that?
We're trying to record. Do you mind? Thank you. But even though, all the ringers I've put myself through, all the ringers that I've been put through, whenever I meet a new girl, I get all goofy and googly-eyed, and I still have managed to hold on to that.
Yeah.
Though I've, like yourself, went through many relationships where I was like, I don't ever want to fucking do this again. But I never, like, it seems like in your case that you were able to flip that switch, and I envy you that. I think that would have made my life a lot easier in a lot of ways. But, you know, it'll be fine.
for sure.
But you're right. It's a little strange that that I still kind of hold on to that.
The more reason I said it was strange is because I could identify with a lot of the things you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and I just like, oh, well, that's interesting that it went one way with me and different way with you. That just, you know,
right. See, again, and then that's like what I was saying is like, there's no one way to go about all this sort of. So there's no way to win, fail. It's not, you know, a pass fail thing.
Yeah.
So definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything about Jake Dishroom?
Fuck that guy. I love Jake Dishroon. I will say that. I've said this before publicly, and I'll say it now for the record, that Jake Dishroon has the loosest scalp I've ever come across in my life. If you ever have a chance to touch the top of his head, it's like he's wearing one of those Tom Cruise masks from Mission Impossible. Like it feels like it'll just peel right off. Very disconcerting.
Might be someone else in disguise then.
Yeah, but why he would pick that disguise of all of them just seems weird.
It's a
weird thing to choose.
Yeah. Are you afraid of death?
Mm-mm.
No?
No, I think it'll be great.
Were you ever? Did you ever have a fearing of death thing? No?
No.
How does that work out?
How's it going?
We're closed.
Okay.
Oh, do we need to move? Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're talking about death.
Yes. The great equalizer.
How do you manage that? How are you not afraid of death?
It's just something I never really... It was something I never really was that scared of.
Yeah.
And then... I don't know, man. I don't look forward to the actual... death part, I guess.
Yeah.
Are we going to get thrown out of here?
I think so.
As much as...
Man.
If I could get through a sentence without security coming down on me, that's the pro-death league trying to get me on their side. I'm not looking forward... I don't like pain.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking forward to... a painful death or anything like that. But I don't particularly like being alive that much. So I don't really, and and as I'm saying this now, it's like I am kind of in a brown study, like I'm a little blue these days. But that's still generally how I feel. Like I kind of came to terms with that mortality thing when I was fairly young, because when you're a punk rocker, it's all about live fast, die young. And even though I haven't done either of those things in a very long time, I still kind of feel the same way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I mean, life's terrible. It's awful. There's a lot of good stuff, but there's a lot of terrible stuff. So it's like, you get, you know, 4 score and 10 or whatever the fucking thing is, and then you're done. And that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
With the setup, as is. So, yeah, it doesn't really bother me that much.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in an afterlife, so I think it'll be nice to just get some rest. Finally, a night's sleep. It'll be nice.
Yeah. What about, like, the idea of, like, time slipping away from you? Does that ever freak you out a little bit?
Occasionally, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't think that's anything... But it's not anything that preoccupies my mind very often. Because I've always just kind of done what I wanted to do anyway. So there's been times, I mean, David, I'm almost 40. I live at my mom's house. You know what I mean? I was a double major in college, and I have like an education and everything, and I work at a comedy club, which on paper might not sound that great, but it's still, I'm like, this is pretty much exactly what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So there's times, those times where I go like, oh no, what have I done with my life, last for a couple seconds. And then I go, oh yeah, no, I'm fine. So,
yeah. So you don't have a lot of regrets then?
No, not really. I mean, I do have some, but, you know, it's not for a lack of trying.
Yeah. Nothing like as far as like your meaning of your life or anything. Though.
No, not at all.
It's been pretty good.
No, yeah. Like I said, I was pretty young when I kind of figured out like what I wanted, which was basically to do whatever I felt like doing for the most part and enjoying myself.
Yeah.
And so I try to do that as much as I can, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean,
so what would you say to somebody like me who's like terrified of death? Like, how do you take that fear away?
I don't know, man. Like, if I knew, if I could make you feel better, I would.
I'm looking for something. I've been surprised by the number of people that aren't afraid of death.
What are you afraid of?
I just want it to end.
Why not?
It's like living.
Well, it's. I mean, how old are you?
25.
Well, then shut up. Fuck off, 25.
I could die today, though.
Exactly. So
the point is that it's
going to
end, even if
so
I live till I'm 80. It's going
to
end.
See, I don't know what to tell you because that's crazy to me. I mean, yeah. Like, I don't know. It's the same thing. If you came to me and you were like, dude, I couldn't fucking fly to work today. I had to drive my car. I couldn't just fly under my own power. I'd be like, yeah. That's just how it is. I don't know what to tell you.
God, it's such a bummer, though.
I guess so. I mean, I'm not. I guess. I honestly can't go. No, it is. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it. I don't really think it is. I think it's. It's just. Just the way it's just simple biology, it's science, you know, and it's entropy. Like, you just can't
keep living forever.
You can't. I mean, and God, I can't imagine. Ugh. I seriously, and I think that the fact that I hate life so much makes me like it more.
Yeah,
it makes me when things are shitty, I'm like, oh, that's terrible. But when things are nice, it's like, oh, good. Mm-hmm. And that just never lasts.
Yeah.
So there has to be that, there has to be that duology, if that's a word, that dualism, like, you know, you can't have night without day, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm, you know, if I hadn't done it, but look, I mean, you're young and you got a beautiful family and the whole thing. It's going to be great. I don't know what you're so worried about.
The ending part.
Yeah, but that's not for a while.
You don't know that.
I guess not. But I mean, statistically speaking, the odds are in your favor.
I guess.
You're a 25-year-old American man.
Yeah.
You take care of yourself, right?
Less so now that I'm doing comedy.
Right, but you don't have a drug problem. No. You don't engage in unprotected sex on the reg, unless it's with just your lovely wife. you don't have self-destructive habits that I've made aware
that's
of.
True.
So, I mean, I think you'll probably be all right.
Like, yeah, text and drive, that could kill me.
Well, then you should stop doing that. It doesn't seem like it would be that difficult a habit to break.
I guess not. I don't know. Have you had much like experience with death and stuff?
Not a ton.
Yeah.
I've lived a fairly sheltered life. I was in a really bad car accident when I was 18. And I was driving down the highway. I was not paying attention to the road. My car started to go off the freeway a little bit. And some of my fans. And I lost control of my car, and the last thing I remember is gripping the steering wheel, and I said, please, God, don't let me die. And then I don't remember anything after that until I woke up with the paramedics around me.
So God came through for you on that one.
Yeah, really pulled through. And he was like, you owe me big time, Callaway. And I was like, all right, I'll be miserable for the next 20 years. And he said, done. And but, yeah, it was weird. Like, I woke up. And then I was in the hospital for about a week, and then I was fine. And I remember there was some college student was doing like a thesis or something. She was interviewing people who had traumatic accidents and, you know, how that affected them. And so she interviewed me in the hospital, and then again a few months later. And I had nothing. Like, I went right back to my miserable life. And it was, I was right back to worrying about the same old 18-year-old bullshit.
Yeah.
And it didn't really have an effect on me. And then I've had friends who have died, and it's been very, very sad. And then it's not, it's still sad, but it's just, you know,
yeah,
it just, you go on with it.
Yeah.
I very much have taken, I've taken very, very great advantage of the fact that I'm a straight white male, and then things just roll off my back a lot of the time. things that other people need concern themselves with.
Yeah.
Safety, shelter, food. You know what I mean? I spend hundreds of dollars on comic books in a month because I don't give a fuck. I don't have to worry about anything, so I don't. You know, I mean, and that's how my forefathers would want it. Those are the principles upon which this great nation was founded. So that straight white men could live a life of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was for me specifically, David.
Definitely.
So I'm taking full advantage of it. Enjoying every, well, not every minute.
Yeah. do you ever like cry?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's not as prevalent as it once was.
Yeah.
I've definitely gotten less emotional over the years, which is good in that I don't feel so out of control, but then it's bad in that I feel like I keep too much inside.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'll just start crying.
Yeah.
I try to do it where people can't see, you know,
in the car.
I don't want to make it weird.
Yeah.
In the car, not sometimes in the car.
Yeah.
Sometimes a song will hit you the right way and there you go.
Any songs in particular?
No. No. Could be anything. Could be goddamn the Banana Splits theme song could set me off. I don't know. So I'm in touch with my sensitive side. Thank you.
Yeah. Was that, are you, have any movies that make you cry?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't, I, none the leap to mind. What was
Do you remember the last movie you cried during?
I don't. What was the last movie? But honestly, it could be anything.
Yeah.
I've been, like I might have mentioned, I'm not sure, but I've been kind of depressed lately. So even just watching Modern Family or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'll tear up every now and again. If something in a movie or a TV show, you know, then they try to tug the heartstrings. If I'm in that bullseye, if I'm in those crosshairs, it'll work.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The last movie that I, like, honestly was emotionally choked up over, God, I don't know. It's been a while.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Nothing leaps to mind. Sorry.
Yeah. Not good.
If I think of it, I'll text you.
It'll probably come and then to me I'll mention it in the intro, I guess. Home. All right. Let's see. We've covered a lot of the.
We have
a lot of the good stuff. So
covered
far.
A lot of ground. It's been a long journey.
I think if I'm forgetting anything, you want to talk about your best and worst sexual experience?
Oh boy. Best and worst. Well, best. That's hard to pick. I've had a lot.
Best is usually tough for people.
It's tough.
Yeah, I think worst comes like easier.
It's like that. Have you seen Glengarry Glen Ross?
I haven't.
It's a very good film. And there's a scene where Al Pacino's character is talking about just this sort of thing, where he's like, you don't remember the orgasm, but you remember like the little things, the noise she made or the way her arm rested on you afterwards or something like that. So yeah, best, I don't have a specific memory. Even worst, I don't know.
No.
I have a lot of those too.
Disappointed by your, you know, efforts.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. And I got to tell you, as I've gotten older, it's gotten harder to stay harder.
Yeah.
And so that's been, So I'll chalk that up as my worst sexual experience. Like I do have, and especially when I was drinking a lot and especially when I was really depressed, when I first went into the therapy, that was also a thing that I addressed with my shrink was like, I have trouble getting a fucking hard on and keeping it. And I thought it was the drugs they had put me on, but he was like, no, I think you're just depressed. And he was right. So like when I'm, you know, it's one of those things impotency where it's like it becomes a psychological thing almost immediately.
Yeah.
So if
you're afraid it will happen again.
And then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So a few years ago, I dated this one gal for very, very briefly because she was awful. but I had, so like we did it. And then the next time we went to do it, I just got nerves or whatever, performance anxiety. And she got really mad. She took it really personally. And I, you know, couldn't do anything about it. Yeah. And then I don't think we ever had sex again. Because every time we tried, I just couldn't get it up. Fortunately, that relationship did not last.
Would she get upset every time?
Every time.
Oh, my God.
And I mean, there were other things in that particular relationship that were not going well.
Yeah.
But that remains like just, that was the worst. Because it's happened to me with other women and they're like, it's hard not to take that personally, but it's really not. It's not like you're not attractive.
Yeah, exactly.
It's I'm putting too much pressure on myself. So, but it works out. Like if I've been with other women, that's been a problem. They're patient with me. And then it all works out in the end and we're both happy.
Yeah.
So that was terrible. 'Cause that was the one time where it was really like being held against me. As far as best sexual experience goes, I don't know, man. I really don't. And it sounds like, I'm not trying to sound like a braggart, but I've had a lot of sex.
Yeah. So if any of your exes are listening to this.
Yeah, you're one of many. Say hi to your dad for me. When I was really young, when I was 17, 18, 18, 19, there were like two girls I dated in a row who were infinitely more experienced than I was, which was great.
Yeah.
That couldn't have been a better introduction to the world of sexual adventures for me. So even though they both had a lot of problems and the relationships were awful, the sex was phenomenal. And so that's still like the high watermark.
That's cool.
That I hold the experience up against, but and I'm a really horny dude, but generally speaking my sex drive has weakened its vice grip on my everyday life.
Is that kind of good?
Oh, it's great. It's so much more done.
Yeah.
It's not it was just like, especially in my 20s, it was just an ever present.
Yeah.
Could not think of anything else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot better now. And it's honest. And now it's, this sounds cliche, but like, I don't dig just fucking, like I have to kind of be into somebody in order to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to write it off. I don't want to say that's the only thing if there's, but generally speaking, like I was out bowling with my friends. I was just hanging out with my friends bowling and this girl was like outside smoking and she just strikes up a conversation with me. And then out of nowhere, she's like, so I have a hotel room across the street.
Holy shit. That
I'm just happens? In town for a week. Yeah. That's what I said. And I went, I played dumb. I just went, oh, nice. Well, enjoy your stay. And then I went back inside. And I remember the look on her face. Like she was so aghast.
Yeah.
And I was, and she was very attractive, but I was just like, lady, I'm not a piece of meat. I'm a human being. I just wasn't feeling it. Because I remember at that time, I was going through the same sort of stuff that I'm kind of going through now.
Yeah. But if that had happened like 10 years ago, then...
Oh, if it had been only a year previous, I think I would have been like, she wouldn't have even finished her sentence.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... she'll be fine. I'm sure she met somebody. I'm sure it wasn't for a lack of looking.
Yeah, I mean... What would you do if you found out like she was like went home, like all sad? And
I don't know. That was years ago. What am I gonna do now? What am I gonna do about it now? Yeah. If I ran into her again and she was like, "Hey, remember me?" And I guess I'd throw a hump into her for the. <hell of it. laughs> I don't know.
To make it up.
That's that sort of thing. Like we're talking about, like when women get. When they'll take that sort of thing personally because they're not used to hearing that, I would guess.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, I think that, but I think that's like a negative stereotype about dudes is that we always want to fuck. Mm-hmm. And even somebody like me who often does, I don't always, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's just times, so that's shitty because there's definitely been times where I've had sex with somebody and I didn't really want to, but it was like somebody I'm dating and just to keep the peace or whatever. And that's that. I mean, it's. Yeah. I guess I could have. You, that's a weird thing to complain about, but it's true.
Yeah.
I'm not, sometimes I just want to watch, you know, Mystery Science Theater and go to sleep. I don't want to. Sure. You know, I'm not a piece of meat.
Well, we talked a little bit about this earlier. But how's your relationship with your parents?
It's all right.
Yeah.
Well, my mom. I live at my mom's and have for. I moved back in like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so her and I get along fine. I haven't talked to my dad in four or five years, maybe. It's been a while. So, yeah, he and I don't get along. So, yeah, it's not great. It's not the worst ever, though, I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, and my mom and I are sort of distant, even though we live in the same house. Mm-hmm. I don't come from a very demonstrative family. So that's all kind of foreign to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've dated women who come from big families and they have, and it's all so overwhelming. And I do my best to try to like,
yeah,
go to Christmas and all that stuff. Yeah. But I can't, it's very difficult for me to deal with. Cause I kind of, I'm kind of a solitary dude. So I just kind of would rather do that. My sister's kind of the opposite. Like my sister married a guy that's got like three brothers and they all have wives and kids and the big family and she loves it. Like she wants, and they have two kids and they're lovely and it's a whole thing. But her and I couldn't be more different people to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
How did that happen?
I think cause, growing up, her and I were treated very differently. Mm. So like I was kind of the black sheep and she was like, could do no wrong sort of thing. I mean, that's oversimplifying it, but that's basically what it boiled down to. So by the time I reached my troubled teen years, I was like, I'm going to go to the record store. I don't want to, And, but my sister was still very active in like sports and, you know, she was, she had friends and it was all, so yeah, it was just like a much different.
Yeah. So do you ever want kids?
I don't think, I don't know, to be honest with you. I used to really want to.
Yeah.
And I like kids. I like my niece and nephew are great, even though I don't see them very often. They live in Encinitas, which isn't that far, but still
far enough.
I don't not want to. Like that's the best I can do. When I was like again, when I was younger, marriage, getting married, and having kids sounded great, and just being in that. And then I realized, like, oh, I'm just kind of vicariously trying to make up for what I perceive to be a shitty childhood. So I don't need to put that pressure on myself because, again, it was bumming me out that I wasn't doing that. I was failing at that. So, yeah, I could take it or leave it at this point. Yeah. If I met somebody that I wanted to, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wanna, I wouldn't mind keeping talking, but we're running low on battery. So is there...
It's been a while. I think we've... I think we've did it. I think we did it.
We covered a good amount of stuff.
We did.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No. Nothing that leaps to mind.
No.
Can I do some plugs?
Do you want to do some plugs?
When is this coming out?
I've never done plugs on this before.
No?
You want to be
I have the novel that I mentioned will be available.
Oh, that's a good plug because that's not, that's something that won't expire.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's called Lupo Danish Never Has Nightmares. It's a superhero gangster novel.
Okay.
Pretty proud of it. I didn't ever really think it would get published, and even it's only now that it's coming out in a couple of weeks that I'm like, oh, this is really happening. So it's being published by Crime Factory. It'll be available on CreateSpace. I think it's like it'll be an ebook and then a print on demand. So if you want a hard copy, you can pony up a couple extra bucks and they'll print one up for you and send it to you. And then I'm doing a reading for that from that in Los Angeles.
What?
On September 20th. Will this be out before that?
Maybe not.
It's fine because I can't remember the name of the place that I'm doing it at anyway, so it's a moot point. But yeah, buy my book. And I'm actually kind of since it's coming out, I have a bunch of other stuff that's unfinished that I want to get back to.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, maybe just even just self-publish it, just to have it done. I always kind of resisted self-publishing because it felt like I wasn't really making it that way. And I mean, because anybody can self-publish and anybody does.
Yeah.
So I wanted to not do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's it. And then just, yeah.
Is there anything that you want anybody listening to know? Like, what is it that they have to know about you or to understand you in a couple of short sentences? What do you think is what?
What am I?
What is there? What does everybody need to know about Jimmy Calloway?
Nobody needs to know anything about me.
What about if they're like, hey, tell me about yourself.
I have more comic books than you do. That sums it up.
You're pretty confident about that?
I am. I am very confident about that. I've got a lot. More than anybody should have, much less a grown man.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool. All right, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Evil minds at plot destruction.
Get out of the way.
Sorcerer of death's construction.
Get out the way, bitch. Get out the way.
In the fields of bodies burning.
Get out of the way.